Oh, my goodness. Oh, if you don't like profanity and bad words that make you get very hurt, then you shouldn't listen to this thing, because this guy, he uses some bad words, and I get very hurt with that.
So there's my disclaimer. You've tuned in again to another edition of Modestly Speaking, and I'm going to start the show off first by changing the name of my show. I listened to my show. I thought it was horribly bad, but it does have the feeling that I am just kicking back with a friend and bullshitting in my pad. So I wanted to change the name first of all. I'm going to start off by doing that. The new name of the program is Modest Joint, because it's just like you're kicking back with me and we're bullshitting. First, I want to start off with anybody interested in sending donations to Crash Holly's daughter. You can do so in care of Patty Lockwood at P.O. Box 912, El Granada, California, 94018. I spoke with Shannon's mother, and Patty still does receive donations from some promoters out there and some fans, so that's really good to hear, and it really is a big help. Next, let me get on with my plugs. I'm going to be really fast with my plugs, and at great personal expense, I did go out and purchase some sound effects for this. It is an audio program, so here we go. Let me hit play on this. I wanted it to kind of be like the old WWE, you know, they were announcing, so it's Mike Modest on the road, so we're going to do like the jet sound. I'm setting it up too much. Let me just go ahead and hit play on this. October 24th, catch Mike Modest at Big Time Wrestling in the Newark Pavilion in Newark, California. October 26th, catch Mike Modest in action at SPW in Sacramento. November 1st, WCWC, Springfield, Oregon. November 2nd, train with Mike Modest at the WCWC Dojo. November 8th, Pro Wrestling Revolution makes its return to Mount Pleasant High School in San Jose, California. January 24th, in Oakland at the New Opera House, come see Mike Modest take part in Monster Grind. Oh, man, my monster voice is horrible. What the hell was that? Monster Grind is going to be very, very cool, though. I'm kind of excited about that. It's going to be a rock concert, and they're also going to have an open bar, so things will get rowdy. And then they're going to have pro wrestling, but all the wrestlers participating are going to be like horror movie icons. I'm participating as Pinhead, so that's going to be cool. My finish will, of course, be the off-the-top-rope headbutt, for sure. A little sip of coffee. It's kind of early in the morning here on Saturday. I'm doing this in my garage, and, you know, something funny happened. Donovan Morgan, my tag partner from Japan, he called me while I was taping the show. And I didn't save that take, though, because I fucked the show up at the end. What an asshole. But he called during the show, and I told him, I said, hey, man, say hi to everybody on the thing. And I put the cell phone up to the telephone, and he yells, hi. And I said, oh, gosh, the recording equipment didn't get it. And told him to yell louder, and I repeated this a couple of times. And each time he got louder, and I finally said, hey, brother, there's no recording equipment. It's a telephone and yellow binder paper. That's what the show consists of. The budget is huge. Let me go with my top 10 list next here. This is the top 10 reasons that, for me, wrestling is like a drug. Now, please don't take this too freaking literally. You know, it's not meant to be serious. It's meant to be lighthearted. But this is the top 10 reasons that, for me, wrestling is like a drug. And any of the boys that listen to this, I think, can relate. Number 10, I saw people I admired doing it, so I thought I'd try it. Number 9, I tried it once, and I was hooked. Number 8, no one could get me to stop. Number 7, when I'm not doing it, I crave it. Number 6, when I'm doing it too much, say like I did it in Japan for 5 years, I OD. Number 5, I get really hungry after I do it. Number 4, I quit it for a while to save my marriage, still got dumped by my wife, and went right back to doing it. Number 3, I know I should quit, but I am addicted. Number 2, most of the people I know who do it or have done it have gone at least a little bit crazy. And the number 1 reason that for me wrestling is like a drug, I put up with Roland Alexander's bullshit for at least 10 years so that I could succeed in this business. Only a true addict would do that. Now I want to give a shout out. You know, a lot of times on the road you run into guys and they become, you know, friends of yours, and you really miss them when you don't see them anymore, you don't work for the company anymore. And I wanted to give a shout out to Scorpio. Woody Whoop, what's up, Scorpio? 420, brother. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to Curry Man. Domo arigato gozaimasu. It was really good seeing Curry Man again. I saw him at Big Time Wrestling. I wanted to give a shout out to Chris Daniels. Haven't seen him in forever. And I've emailed him and get no response. And if anybody bumps into him, tell him to give me a shout out. I wanted to talk about Jerry Jarrett for a moment. Jerry says that pure wrestling doesn't draw. And man, I'll tell you what, I couldn't agree more with the statement. Wrestling is like a razor's edge. You know, if you get too silly, say like a Jackie Chan movie, you start feeling like maybe it's a younger kid's movie. I guess that's why those movies are PG-13. They're just kind of mamby-pamby. You know, they're unrealistic. Whereas you take a movie like The Godfather, it's a little more realistic. And it just appeals to a different kind of audience. And, you know, you have a lot of wrestling fans out there besides teenage kids. And when you go too far over the edge or too much under the radar, you lose the kids. You lose adults, too. It just gets boring. You go too far over, and now you take people out of what they really love about pro wrestling. And, you know, in example, I'll tell you about two things that, man, probably my two all-time hated angles ever. One was the Four Horsemen with RoboCop. You had this robot bending bars and acting silly and chasing the horsemen around the arena. And the horsemen, they were clever, and they trapped RoboCop in a cage. And then he bent the bars, and he chased them. Oh, my God. It was horrible. Just absolutely fucking awful. And I remember being so embarrassed watching that. I thought, what the fuck, man? Maybe I've grown out of this shit. Maybe this is not for me. You know, I really love it. I realize what it is I'm watching, but now they're insulting me. They're making me feel like maybe I should be watching cartoons, too, you know. And pro wrestling is many things, but it's not a cartoon. And, you know, I've always liked the reality-based characters, characters that are based off of more reality. The UWF back in the day was really successful at this. They had guys like Steve Williams, Terry Taylor, Tommy Rogers, Bobby Fulton, Sting, Rick Steiner, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. These were guys that their gimmicks really were just extensions of themselves. They were endlessly interesting to watch in the ring and out of the ring. I think that's what made UWF so successful at that time. You also had guys that like Dusty Rhodes, Dick Murdoch, Adrian Adonis, Roddy Piper, Bob Orton, Barry Windham, Dennis Condrey, Bobby Eaton, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, who had these different kinds of bodies. They weren't the typical looking, you know, in shape, shredded, you know, just beefy looking dude. They were, I don't know, it's hard to explain. I mean, you couldn't call Dusty Rhodes an average build, but he did look like the kind of guy that maybe you could relate to, the kind of guy that goes to a bar and hops a few bars and gets in a brawl and pops a beer bottle upside your head and hits you with a wooden chair. You know, it's just, they were different kinds of dudes, and their gimmicks were just more based on themselves. I told Terry Taylor one time that I thought Jeff Jarrett would get over more if they showed Jeff Jarrett doing an actual negotiation with Sting about Sting's contract and the money that Sting would want, and et cetera, et cetera, and what Jeff's real feelings on that were. You know, did he feel like he was raked over the coals? You know, I don't know what the real story is, but if you put that in there and now you embellish it or you just show one side of it, you could pretty much make Jeff a heel or a babyface based on whatever. And I think something like that would be way more impressive and would drive home, you know, a lot better and be far more entertaining than some of the silly stuff that people do come up with sometimes. Especially, you know, case in point, the whole thing with the recreating the Macho Man angle and the recreating the Mankind angle, and that, and it's really cool that Mankind is in there and you know, whatever that whole thing, but it's just like recreating stuff that's been done in the past. It just shows lack of creativity. And man, there I go, being too freaking opinionated. You know, I'm just a heat seeker. What the fuck? What an idiot. Well, I'll just keep going on with the show. Let's talk about Dennis Stamp. I'm going to just change subjects. God bless you guys, and I think everything you guys do is golden. Dennis Stamp, ESPN Classic, AWA Wrestling. Dennis Stamp is the guy that was on Beyond the Mat, and he was doing jumping jacks on the trampoline with the little yellow or pink bitch weights. And I wonder sometimes what Barry Blaustein did to get that guy up there, or if this was really part of his daily workout regime. I don't know. But I have been watching some Dennis Stamp wrestling on this AWA Classic, and I'll tell you what, the guy's impressive, and I really enjoy watching him. And he reminds me of like Pete Doherty, the Duke of Dorchester back in the day. You know, I used to enjoy some of the jobbers back in the day, guys like Salvatore Bellomo, Bob Marcus, Frank Williams, and then I was Mike Stone. Originally was my first name, Mike Stone, part of the famous Stone Wrestling family, followed up by or preceded by Rocky Stone and many other Stones. It was great. You know, I really liked some of the stuff I've been seeing on the AWA Classic Wrestling. Another guy you have to check out on YouTube is Rocky Mountain Thunder. This guy looked like some promoter just pulled him off the street, told him, hey, take off your shoes and climb on in the ring, bud, and, you know, do whatever you like. The wrestling is just brutal. If you go to YouTube, type in Rocky Mountain Thunder versus the Surfer. You will see the worst accidental backbreaker, neckbreaker, twisting Rocky Mountain Thunder drop you've ever seen. It's horrible, horrible to watch. But you got to check it out. I want to read this blog that I wrote about roller derby, and this will kind of help explain the way I feel about wrestling sometimes. And, you know, I don't want to make generalizations, you know, especially when I'm doing something like this. I mean, people can take you so literally on everything you say and really pick it apart. So I want to be careful. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, like I've said many times, they're the ones running the wrestling business, not me. You know, it's just my opinion. Roller derby. I got a chance to go watch roller derby at the Pleasanton Fair yesterday. I lost some money at the track, had a great time doing so. I love to see the horses run live. Like so many things, pro wrestling and horse racing is just flat out better live. Seeing the strength of the stride, feeling the thunder of hooves as they torpedo down the track, the smell of hay and of horse shit, and the roar of the crowd. As my friend and I were leaving the fair, I was happy to see that they were setting up for roller derby. I love roller derby. When I was a kid, my two favorite things in the world was wrestling and roller derby. I convinced my girlfriend that we really had to stay. My friend had never seen roller derby before. I said, "You have never seen roller derby? Oh man, you're going to love it." We took two seats on the bleachers. I impatiently waited for the game to start. It was the Bay Bombers versus the Red Devils. They started to introduce the skaters. I thought to myself, old, out of shape, carny. Jesus, it looked like a bad day at a geriatric clinic. A couple of the skaters looked like they had just finished taking tickets for the Tilt-A-Whirl and decided to mosey on over and skate some roller derby. What the fuck? I told myself, calm down, Mike. Maybe they are hella awesome skaters and brawlers. There was one female skater that was very cute. I think her name was Megan Martinez. Two other gals skated well. All three of them had that polished look. Then the skating started. Right away, there was some kind of disagreement taking place. One of the male skaters from the Devils wanted to skate with the women. There was a brief non-heated argument, and then suddenly the male skater got slapped on the face, or at least I think it was a slap, but it looked like the tender touch of an old lover. He rolled away, holding his cheek. It got over with the crowd like a fart in church. Blood rushed to my face. I began to sweat. It was warm outside, but I was cold. Could I be coming down with a virus? They started rolling around the track very slowly. The jam started, and they just kept rolling slow, like syrup kept in a freezer. They threw half-hearted elbows, pansy-assed headlocks. They hit the rail with the force of an 80-year-old woman on crutches. Seriously, I have seen nurses slap babies on the ass harder than these skaters hit each other. The worst part was when their helmets kept falling off. Only 75% of the helmets had chin straps. One bruiser of a gal with very curly hair was trying to push her helmet down, and every minute or so it would pop up off her head like a children's suction cup pop-up toy. Again, I felt blood rush to my face. This time, the sweat was more pronounced. It beaded on my forehead and trickled down my nose at a rate faster than the speed of the skaters on the track. A new sensation came over me. Nausea had been added to my symptoms. I realized at once that I had come down with a chronic case of embarrassment. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I had seen roller derby live before, and it was better than on TV, just like the horses, and just like pro wrestling. This time was different. Watching children playing hopscotch would have been better than this shit. At least kids playing hopscotch fall down and skin their knees from time to time. That's at least funny. There was no chance this could get better. I didn't wait to see the guys. I immediately asked my girlfriend to leave. Oddly enough, she was ready. Bummer. I really love roller derby. You know, and the thing is, the blog stops there, but the thing is I always loved roller derby, and roller derby back in the day wasn't a legit sport. It was, you know, legitimate how rough it was to skate around that track constantly and whack each other and hit the rails and take a beating and fall down and get your shoulder slammed into the rails. I mean, all that was real. You know, I really loved roller derby back in the day, and when I saw this copycat promotion of roller derby, I just thought, God, how horrible. You know, this is just, you know, seriously, hopscotch would have been better, a lot more dangerous. Anyhow, so that's it on roller derby. That's it for the show, in fact. I'm thinking about adding a new segment, and maybe you want to email me and tell me what you think. I want to do like a segment, Words of Wisdom from Donovan Morgan, or something like that, you know. So if you got any ideas, questions, or whatever you'd like to ask Donovan Morgan or myself, you can email me at michael.modest@gmail.com. Again, that email, michael.modest@gmail.com. This has been your host, Michael Modest, and I love pro wrestling more than ever. Peace.